Hello, I'm Patrick Adams.
And I'm Caroline Lucier.
And this is Librarians of Littles, a podcast where we review books, include makerspace connections, and give tips or tricks for using the library with our youngest learners. This week, we are going to be sharing two books with you that come from the Texas 2x2 list, a list of books created by the Texas Library Association every year that encourages students to read books that are fit for children between the ages of 2 and 2nd grade. And so our first book this week is titled Mr. S. It's published by Catherine Teagan Books, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers, in 2023. The author and illustrator is Monica Arnaldo. This book, as mentioned, is on the Texas 2x2 list, but it has also been on the ALSC Notable Children's Books list of 2024. The Governor General's Award for Young People's Literature Illustrator Finalist for 2023, the Junior Library Guild Selections 2024, Publisher Weekly Best Books 2023, and the School Library Journal Best Books of the Year 2023. Monica Arnaldo has also earned the Outstanding International Books Grade K through 2 in 2015 for her book, Arto's Big Move.
Monica Arnaldo is an award-winning author and illustrator. She grew up in Ontario, Canada in the 1900s.
That's what she has on her webpage, and it hurts my soul.
In what?
It hurts my soul. In the 1900s, like it's forever ago. It was yesterday.
I was talking to my mom the other day about water bottles. You know how kids these days are like, I need my water bottle, and it's a thing. And yes. My mom was like, you didn't have your water bottles. And I was like, no, I think that started happening like around the turn of the century. The turn of the century.
Oh. Oh.
That wasn't a thing in the turn of the century. And that's a valid statement.
We are so old. Oh, God.
Again.
Nope, we're keeping all of this in. We're keeping all of this.
About how old we are?
Yes, yep.
Okay.
All of this is staying in. Yep. Yep.
Well, anyways, on her website, she explains that as a child, she invented trading lunches and had to be actively restrained from befriending wild animals.
Other books that she has done include Are You a Cheeseburger?, The Museum of Very Bad Smells, Time for Bed Story, Arto's Big Move, Little Book of Big Fears, Little Brothers and Little Sisters, and she's also worked with other authors to write A Dog Day for Susan by Maureen Fergus, and The Last Slice, A Three Kings Day Treat by Melissa Richardson. So the summary for this book, it is the first day of school, and students find themselves in a classroom, and on the desk at the front of the classroom is a stack of papers, a warm mug of coffee, and an impressive-looking sandwich. As the students do not see a teacher, they assume that there isn't one, until they notice that on the board in neat handwriting is the name Mr. S. As students are trying to figure out where their teacher might be, they find that maybe Mr. S stands for the sandwich, and that must be their teacher. Once they realize that their teacher may be a sandwich, they start to get to work, and they begin their lessons. They work on the alphabet, they do art and story time and music, and as the day goes on, the students question if a sandwich can be a teacher. When a man finally enters the room, it appears that this may be their missing teacher, and the whole situation is solved. But in fact, this missing teacher, who throughout the entire book you can see through the classroom window is having a very rough day of it, turns out to be the principal, Mr. Spencer, and the student's teacher is indeed Mr. S, the sandwich. I really love this book. I think this is such a great story. It's so cute. It's so fun. It does not end the way you expect it to. There's so many little jokes going on throughout the story. This is going to be my new beginning of the year book that I'm going to read with kids as the school year starts, because this is such a fun story. All of the mayhem that is happening to Mr. Spencer in the background through the classroom window is really funny, and it tells another story just using the illustrations in the book. There's some great little in jokes, like the alphabet that they're learning. All of the letters are correlated to different like sandwich types, so like letter C is for club sandwich and like that kind of thing. So it was just like in jokes with that. And then I really, really love the conversation as kids are trying to figure out if a sandwich can be a teacher, and the argument that, well, there's computer teachers and salsa teachers and piano teachers, and it's these images of those physical things actually being teachers. And I just like that kind of humor to me is really fun. And even if the kids don't get it, it amuses me, which I'm okay with. But I think that the kids would really enjoy this story. I think it's just so fun. And that twist ending where it's, nope, yep, the sandwich is actually your teacher kind of thing is just not something that would be expected. And so I really enjoyed this. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 bookmarks, because like I said, this is going to be my new beginning of the year book.
I agree completely. This is definitely a 5 out of 5. This may be the most original first day of school book I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah. I think most first day of school books are fine. They're important to have too, like for getting kids acclimated to the first day of school, and there's a lot of feelings that go along with it. This just makes it a lot more lighthearted. I might for really young kids, like our pre-K and kinder, who are like, it's truly their first day of school, I would not read this immediately to them. I would probably wait a week or two so a lot of those kindergarten pre-K kids, some of them really do think that they're like being abandoned. This is, for some of them, it's their That's first true. Time like out of the house, and there's a lot of tears and they haven't been anywhere before, and some of them truly do think that they have to live here forever. So I don't know if I would read it to them like on the first day or anything. It might be like a second week of school for them.
That's fair.
Yeah. Everybody else who understands that this is, you know, a fun routine and like school's not for them to live at forever, like it would be fun right away for them. But yeah, definitely a 5 out of 5. For originality there. This is a great one. I loved it.
It's really cute. And like I said, the humor just got me. I was smiling the whole time I was reading the book. It's just really great. And the pictures are really cute. And something else that I really, really liked about it was that the students in the classroom are very diverse. Like there's different skin colors. There's a student that is a wheelchair user as part of the class. And so like that's just a subtle kind of thing that incorporates just everybody being included, and I really like that addition to the story, even though it's not really necessarily pointed out. It's just, hey, these are all the kids and they just kind of do their thing, but being able to see that is just a nice added bonus also that I really enjoyed. All right, so I'm going to be honest, for a makerspace activity for this, I was having a hard time because if we're trying to think of something for pre-K students to do, the idea of the book is like sandwiches and things like that, and so that's challenging. What I did do is I looked at, because this is a Texas 2x2 list book, the Texas Library Association has cards with different activities and different ideas of how to, like, they have questions that you can ask throughout the book and some like writing prompts, but they also have some activities and stuff like that. So I went there and looked, and what they have as an activity that's suggested for this is building a sandwich. And the way it works is there's two papers that you'd have to print for every kid. The first one is a sandwich. It's like a bun that's connected by multiple rectangles. The idea is you cut that out, fold all of those rectangles up so that the sandwich collapses. And then on the second page are the ingredients for your sandwich. So like lettuce, tomatoes, meat, that kind of stuff. And there's even like an egg and all sorts. So you can pick and choose what you add. And then you add those into the folded pieces of the sandwich and makes a sandwich that the kids can have, so they can have their own little Mr. S sandwich. Which is a really cute idea. For pre-K, that's going to be a lot more challenging, because that, especially if you do this as a beginning of the year book, because that's going to take a lot of fine motor skills, using scissors, folding the paper, following the instructions. That's going to be really, really challenging. So that's an option. If you're working with bigger kids and you wanted to do something like that, that would be a pretty good option. I don't think it would be super successful with pre-K students. I think with pre-K students, the better option would maybe be just to pull out the Legos and have them build their own Mr. S sandwich out of Legos, or they could pick another type of teacher that they would like to make and build that with Legos, or they could make a person teacher if they wanted that, like something like that instead, because it is about teachers, and they can either make their own Mr. S sandwich teacher, or they could make a teacher and then talk to you about, you could ask them questions about what their teacher teaches and how they teach, and I'm sure they'd give you a whole story background of what they want in their teacher, which would be a cool way to find out like what they expect teachers to do and be like, and that would be a fun way to kind of get to know the kids a little bit more, is to have them build a teacher and then get to go around to each table as they're building and like talk to them and find out what they think school should be like and what they're looking for in a teacher. So that might be a way to build some connections that way.
That'd be fun.
So yeah, but other than that, I don't know, like sandwich things, is food, making connections with food is always kind of hard when you're in the when you're in a library setting. Because I always also try to convince my students that we try to avoid having food in the library a lot. So like,
yeah, same.
I don't want to I don't want to mix those messages with the students either a lot. So that can kind of be hard sometimes.
Well, and I also think though, at the very beginning of, because you would read this probably in August probably, at the very beginning when you're still kind of establishing your routines and procedures, and I think I might not even have necessarily anything in particular tied to it, and just be like, we're still teaching routines, you're in school, that's the connection, and like, and just when you're in school you do these things, the kids are in school in this book, they're doing these things, you're gonna do these things, and just have teaching routines be your lesson for that day. I think for this one, just because it is a beginning of this school year book, it's just establishing routines could be appropriate for our, the youngest kids. I think you're right. I love the building a sandwich for the older kids who have already, you know, they just need a refresher on what their routines are. Ideally, they've been coming to the library for a few years and they kind of, at one point, knew the expectations, and so you just, but ideally, they'll only need a refresher, but for younger kids, let's just learn that the library is a safe place, and that's what we're doing still.
Yeah.
And that's fine, I think.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah. This week, for our Library of Littles management tip, in previous episodes, we've mentioned that the pre-K campuses that we've worked on have their own makerspace labs. So this week, we wanted to talk to you about how we kind of set up those labs, the zones that we use to set up the makerspace labs, and kind of how that works. So in our makerspace labs, they're separate from the library. We still do makerspace in the library, but we have separate makerspace labs that are used by the classroom teachers with their students. And those labs are set up into six distinct areas. Those six distinct areas are designated with colored duct tape that correlates to what the area is, and it sets a defined space in the makerspace lab. So the students have somewhere to work, but that they're not roaming the entire room with all of the materials and getting everything everywhere. So the six areas that we defined all have something to do with a portion of STEM or STEAM education. The six areas that we have in our makerspace labs include coding and robotics, simple machines, creation station, the construction zone, organic mechanics, and the tinker table. So some of these are more self-explanatory than others, but in coding and robotics, the students are working to learn how to make robots move using coding. So they're learning cause and effect. We use a lot of the simple robots that students can either press buttons directly on the robot, or they're using other things to have the robots move to see the correlation between the actions that they're telling the robots to do and the actual movements that they make. A lot of these robots are more simplistic. We try to avoid using a lot of iPads with screens to control robots, just because at this age, a lot of screen time isn't the best. And honestly, a lot of these students end up getting plenty of screen time in other locations, so we don't need to continue that trend in this space. In the simple machines, the students are using those simple machines. So they're using levers and pulleys and wheels to build and create. In the creation station, this is an art and crafts kind of station where we have different activities where they can use those crayons and markers and colored pencils and construction paper to build and create different activities each time they come in. Our construction zone is just that. It's building blocks, it's Lincoln logs, all of those things for the kids to build and create and see what they can come up with. Organic mechanics is a fun area where students get to use natural materials like leaves and sticks and dirt to build and create. And our tinker table is where students get to take things apart. They get to deconstruct. We get volunteers to donate different pieces like computers or old DVRs, that kind of stuff, remote controls. And the students, with supervision and some kid-friendly tools, get to take those things apart just to see what's inside and see how they work. And so those six zones are set up in our makerspace so that they're color-coded. So if coding and robotics is the blue area, that area is defined with a blue line of duct tape on the floor so the students know to stay in that area with those materials and so on. So each zone has its own color, and we define those spaces clearly so the students know where to stay. And this works in correlation with something we've mentioned before. Each of those zones has a card that has a set number, I think it's usually 5 or 6 clothes pins with the same color. And students that are in that area will take the clothes pin off of the card and put it on their shirt while they're in that area. Once there are no more clothes pins, that area is closed. It can't accept any more students. And so if the students can't find a clothes pin, they know they need to go to a different area. And then when the students want to move, they take that colored clothes pin off and put it back on the card and go to a new area to take the correct clothespin color. This also helps that it's color-coded to match the duct tape, so the teachers can see if there's a green clothespin in the blue area that somebody either didn't put the clothespin back or needs to go back to their area, that kind of thing. And it helps with management a lot for such a large space with a lot of things happening at once. It's been working. I think it works pretty well with the students, and the teachers have kind of gotten accustomed to it. And most of the teachers, when they go in there, they really enjoy being able to give the kids the freedom to move within. But the fact that it's all kind of separated out and they have their own spaces, it makes it a lot easier to kind of keep an eye on the students and not have kids just running all over the place the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And they're not crowding in a particular zone or anything like that. It's all, everybody's pretty well spread out.
And I know that some teachers have made it so that, like, if you're in the coding and robotics area one week, the next week you have to go somewhere else so that that area becomes available for other students and that kind of thing. And they kind of work that out as how their class, what's best for their class and for their students. But having those defined spaces really helps the kids to understand where they should be and what they should be doing in that area, which is really nice.
Yeah. Well, our next book for today is called No Fair. It was published by Viking in 2023, and it is written and illustrated by Jacob Grant. It's on the Texas 2x2 2024 list and the Illinois Reads Birth through 4 2024 list. Jacob Grant always knew he wanted to be an artist. As a child, he was shy, and art gave him a way to express himself. He attended the Art Academy of Cincinnati, where he majored in graphic design. He worked in graphic design for 5 years until he discovered his talent for writing children's books. He currently lives near Chicago with his wife and two kids.
Some of his other books include Umami, No Pants, Bear Meets Bear, Bear Out There, Bears Scare, Through the Zoo, Cat Knit, Little Bird's Bad Word, and Scaredy Kate.
In this book, a boy and his father go on some errands with the promise of going out for a donut afterwards. As they go through the day, their boy complains that things aren't fair. He's lost a race, his treats are smaller than everyone else's. And things like that. Eventually, his father explains in simple terms that life isn't always fair, and fair doesn't necessarily mean the same thing for everyone. I thought this was a fun, cute, relatable story for young children. I think every kid in the world at some point has the realization that life isn't fair, because it really just isn't. It's kind of a life lesson that we all kind of go through at some point. The illustrations are really simple. I liked that the book was written in dialogue, but it didn't have word bubbles. Instead, they had, I think it was black writing for the father's words, and the little boy, his name is Pablo, his words were written in red. So it was still like easy to distinguish who was talking when, but it didn't take away from the story at all. And it kind of made it a little bit easier, I think, for the kids to follow along. I liked how the illustrations made it. It was like really clear that like a lot of the things that the boy thought wasn't fair were like his dad was getting all the big things and the little boy was getting all the smaller things. But like, because of the way the illustrations are, you can really see that, well, dad's a lot bigger. So like, it's kind of fair that like he gets the bigger things because he kind of needs it because he's so much larger. And like, it was really well done because it was so, the proportions were kind of perfect for it, I guess. It was a really good visual for like, for kids to see that, you know, because I know we all explain to kids that, you know, fair means different things for different people. We all need different things. We're all different humans with different needs. And this just really made it a little bit easier to physically see why our differences are important and why we might kind of need different things. So I thought it was fun. I think I'd give it like a 4 out of 5. Not necessarily like, it wasn't a groundbreaking book or anything, but it was still simple and relatable and cute, and it was a fun to read book.
I agree. Absolutely. It was a good book. It was cute. The pictures were very pretty and kind of just warm and enjoyable. And then, yeah, like, this is a lesson that, you know, it's really hard for some kids to understand that fair doesn't mean everybody gets exactly the same thing, you know? Fair is everybody getting what they need at the time. And so this is I definitely agree. This is one of those books that is a good social emotional lesson for near the beginning of the school year, so that you can explain, you know, fair is making sure everybody has what they need so they can be successful, and that doesn't mean that everybody gets the same things all the time. You know, we have some students that, to be successful, they need to have that extra space where they can go and get some energy out before they come and sit down on the carpet and do their lesson or whatever. And some kids need to have that fidget in their hand. And that doesn't mean everybody gets it just because someone else does. If this is what that student needs so they can be successful, it's fair that they get it and you don't if you don't need that to be successful. And so, like, being able to have that conversation because of this book and being able to show, look, Pablo's dad is much bigger, so he gets to pick up the bigger items, where Pablo is smaller, so he's going to pick up the smaller items because he physically can't pick up the bigger items. That's fair. They're splitting the work evenly for what their abilities are and what their needs are at the moment. And so, like, I agree. It's a really cute story. It's a lot of fun, and it definitely makes it so you can incorporate some important lessons. And so this would be a great book to use near the beginning of the year also to kind of start having those discussions with kids. It's not going to be the last time you're going to have those discussions, but this is a good way to start that foundation. And you can always keep going. Like, this is a good book that if you start near the beginning of the year with it, you can keep going back to it and be like, remember when we read this and we had this conversation? So yeah, I agree.
That's true.
I think it's a great book. I enjoyed it. It's cute. It's fun. The pictures are very pretty. And so I would definitely use this book to help start having those conversations for sure.
And there were also a few things like in the background, like, I know we talked about like the things they physically say in the book, but there were also a few things in the background that were drawn in that were like, you could also talk about how like Pablo has a dog that like comes around with him, and like the dog is like trying to like pick up like pieces of donut on the ground, and like Pablo's always dragging away, and like, well, you could talk to the kid about like, look, it's not fair for the dog either. He's trying to go get the donut, and that's not fair that Pablo's dragging him away, even though he doesn't want to be dragged away. And there's a kid in the background over here who's in a wheelchair. It's, you know, not everybody has to use wheelchairs. It's not, it's fair that that kid has a wheelchair if he can't get up and walk. Like, you don't need a wheelchair to walk. Like, that's a pretty easy one to see that, like, another way to talk about,
absolutely,
you know, how different, fair is different for everybody. Absolutely. Yeah. And I like the idea of, like, referring back to it later in the school year. It's a really good, it's almost social story-like.
Yeah.
It's not quite a social story, but close to it. So, I was thinking for this one because the sizes of everything were so clear cut, and there was some great proportions in there for like the big dad with the big drink and the small kid with the small drink. It might be fun to build different houses for like different size items. So like something that you might just have lying around the library would be like the different size counting bears, because there's some that are like real big and some that are super duper not, that are much smaller. So like you could just use like the small Legos and just build like a different house, a different size houses for them to like little fit inside, or like you could even take it in a Goldilocks direction, I guess, and like build, do it alongside that and have like different size chairs for the bears or something like that, if you happen to be doing that as well. You could also, if you don't have like the, I mean, really you could do that with like almost anything that you have like lying around. Like if you have like different size puppets, or you could just print different size pictures and just, you know, anything that you, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like counting bears, but just building different structures for items, or ideally some kind of toys that the kids are really into for the kids to build with. So, and kind of having like a proportion lesson, or like big and small, kind of tie it in with that.
I like that a lot. I like that idea of being able to build and have different items for them to build for, and then just kind of having it be random. So like some kids are building bigger houses and some kids are building smaller houses, and then be like, look, it's fair because you're building for this while he's building for that, or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and it could be really like anything that you have around the library.
Yeah.
Puppets, or, I mean, if the kids have a, like at the beginning of our school year, we usually have like a teddy bear day where they build, or they bring in their teddy bears, and we could do that on teddy bear day and like notice the different sizes of our kids' teddy bears, and like what can you do for the teddy bear that would be, still be fair.
Yeah.
Because our teddy bears are all a little bit different, so we're going to take care of them a little bit differently.
Absolutely. That's really cool. I like that idea a lot. I like these books. I think both of these books are really good books.
And I do,
I think,
too.
Like you said, like you pointed out, I think both of these would be good books for near the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Definitely include. Didn't mean to do a beginning of the year
just happened.
episode today, but it worked out really well. I think I probably will use these both at the beginning of next year. Like,
yeah,
for real.
I think they're really great. Yeah, they're both really good books that will be very useful with the kids and enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I think the kids will like both of them. Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us today on this episode of Librarians of Littles. We hope you found some fresh ideas for inspiring young learners. Please be sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Librarians of Littles. We hope that you've enjoyed it. Check back each Wednesday for a new episode. Librarians of Littles is a podcast produced and hosted by Patrick Adams and Caroline Legier. Editor, Patrick Adams. Our theme song is performed by J.D. Adams. You can follow us on Instagram at Librarians of Littles. You can follow us on Blue Sky at littleslibrarian.bsky.social. And you can send us your emails at librarianoflittlespod@gmail.com.
Good first week of school kind of books. So, well done to us. Wrong time of year, but good job.
That's okay, you know. Hey, that's all right. We can realize that we found some good beginning of the year books, and you know what? Just save them and use them next year, because I think I'm definitely going to use the Mr. S book next year, because I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. So
that one was super cute. Yeah. That might be my new favorite, like, beginning of year book.
Yeah, it was, like, because I've had it on my shelf, and I hadn't looked at it, and then we were like, let's do a 2x2 series, and so I was like, okay, what 2x2s haven't we hit yet, and that was on the list, and I was like, all right, let's check it out. I know I have this one on my shelf in the library, so I went over and grabbed it and read it, and I was like, oh, I like this.
That was real cute. Good choice.
Yeah.